there is an article of research that was published by McKinsey that I was very taken by when I read it about multitasking, and the article is called Recovering from the Information Download. Always-on multitasking work environments are killing productivity, dampening creativity, and making us all unhappy. And they go on to describe the research that they've done about how multitasking is something that really has not proven to make us any more productive than we once were. They write here, what we hope to do in this article is help executives and their organizations by reminding them of three simple things. First, multitasking is a terrible coping mechanism. A body of scientific evidence demonstrates fairly conclusively that multitasking makes human beings less productive, less creative, and less able to make good decisions. If we want to be effective leaders, we need to stop. And you can search this article. There's a whole lot more that they write about it. But the reason why I mention it is because, as we know, this week's Parsha and Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah describes one of the unique articles of clothing that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, and that is the tzitz, the golden plate that was affixed on his forehead. And that was meant to be a reminder to him at all times that all of his service throughout the day was for a consecrated purpose, for the purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, for a divine and elevated spirit. This is why the Kohen Gadol always had to wear this tzitz that said Kodesh LaHashem on it. It sounds like a fairly simple idea, but when you think about it a little bit more critically, it's a very strange halacha, it's a very strange mitzvah that we were given. Because after all, as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer on Chumash, he says, we're talking about the holiest man in the Jewish community. Not only that, this is the only person that has an intimate encounter with God on Yom HaKippurim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's the only one that is able to gain atonement for the Jewish people. And yet, the Rambam says, Kvodo v'Sefarto, the great grandeur of the Kohen Gadol is that he never leaves the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So when this is the person who we're talking about, a Kohen Gadol, whose entire life is dedicated toward this one focus, this one idea, a perpetual state of servitude, and this is all he's doing all day long and every day of his life, why does he need the reminder? What is this all about? Writes of Moshe Feinstein that perhaps the requirement of the tzitz that our parsha describes is not limited to the life and the specific clothing of the Kohen Gadol, but rather it's meant to be a relevant message for all human beings, and that is that a person can be completely involved and fully absorbed and consumed in whatever it is that they might be doing. And yet you can even be in a divine encounter with God Himself. You can even be standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says R' Moshe Feinstein. And yet, as human beings, it's so easy for us to lose focus and to get distracted from whatever it is that we're engaged in. And therefore, he says, all it takes is 1 minute, all it takes is 1 second for our minds to travel somewhere else, for our eyes to wander and be involved in looking at something else than what we're supposed to be looking at, and we become completely inattentive and unmindful of what it is that's right in front of us. Writes R' Moshe Feinstein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach this very holy individual, the Kohen Gadol. Even if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and your entire life is dedicated to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, it does not matter. You also need the reminder that your job and your daily activities are Kodesh LaHashem. And without that piece of gold on your forehead that is going to serve as your reminder, you as a human being can very easily get distracted and lose focus from what it is that you're supposed to be doing and what your mission is really meant to be all about. In the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, we read about the 40 days and the 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai and spends time together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there, the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. God instructs Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells him, Alei Elai Hahara, I'd like you to come onto the mountain with me, Veheyesham, and be there. And once you're here, Ve'etne lecha es luchos ha'evin v'hatorah v'hamitzvah asher kasavti lehoros. Once you come up here onto the mountain and you get yourself comfortable, then I will give you the luchos and I will explain to you all the laws of the Torah. Now Rashi wonders, as we know, every word in the Torah is so carefully measured and there for a very particular purpose. Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Elai Hahara. I want you to come up onto the mountain, Veheyesham, and be there. Of course, once he comes up to the mountain, he's going to be there. So what do you mean, Veheyesham? So Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was being advised by God himself, you're going to be here for a long time. You're going to be here for 40 days and 40 nights, so you may as well get yourself comfortable. Come up to the mountain, roll up your sleeves, get a nice comfortable chair, because this is not something that's just going to be one conversation. This is going to be a long interaction, and I'd like you to get used to your new environment that you're now going to find yourself in the next 40 days. However, one of the great Hasidish Rebbes, Rabbi Yecheskel Mikuzmir, in the 1700s, he writes that no. Perhaps what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu was the following. So often, he says, we are invited to a business meeting. Or not just that, we have a long overdue night of a date with our spouse, or with a child, or whatever it might be. And we mark it down on our calendars, and we arrange for the babysitting, and we even make the reservation in the hotel or in the restaurant or wherever it might be that we're going, and we take care of all of the arrangements, and we make sure everything is just perfect the way it's supposed to be, in order that we can fully enjoy the time spent with our loved ones. And he says, after all the time and all the effort that we invest in putting this together, how often do we find that we're just not there? We're just not there. He said, you can be there, but even though I'm there physically, so often our attention and our minds are in so many different places. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to teach Moshe Rabbeinu on this occasion. He says, Alei Elai HaHara, I'd like you to come up onto the mountain. And on the mountain, I'm going to give you the Torah and the mitzvahs. I'm going to explain everything to you. But it's not good enough to physically be here. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Veheyesham, I expect you to actually be here, to be mindful of where it is that you are, and to pay attention to the situation and the environment that I've put you in. Don't allow yourself to get distracted. Yes, there are going to be malachim all over the place, and there's going to be lots of different things that you can lose your attention to. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not the time for that. Alei Elai HaHara Veheyesham. And I think all the time about the rapid advancement of technology, as much as our high-powered smartphones and everything else that we have, the global networking that we're all a part of, as much as it helps us in certain areas of our lives, and it really is able to be of great assistance, at the same time, we become so complicated as a result of it, and we never have the ability to just focus on whatever it is that's right in front of us. When was the last time you went to a minyan for Shacharis in our shul, where somebody's cell phone didn't ring in the middle of davening? I'm not saying yours. Of course not. Nobody in the room would have a cell phone on during davening. But when was the last time we went to a minyan where somebody in the room didn't? And I think to myself, you couldn't go, the minyanim here are not so slow. You couldn't go 30 minutes, 35 minutes without turning your phone on. What's going to happen? What are you going to miss already? And I always wonder, then when you turn your phone on after davening, what exactly did you miss? The emails from Bed Bath & Beyond? You know, the whatever advertisement you got, is, well, you miss nothing. And yet we're so distracted because we don't have the ability to focus any longer because of how complicated our lives have become. And as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the reality of human beings. This is what happens. It's not your fault. You're a human being, and this is the way human beings work. This is the way our minds wander. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, just like he tells Aaron HaKohen in our Parsha, you, Aaron, are going to be living your entire life in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, serving God every moment of every day of your life. And yet, he says, you need to have a golden plate on your forehead that reminds you, the holiest of holy, that you need to always remember Kodesh LaHashem, that everything that you do is for a consecrated and an elevated purpose. Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, I'm inviting you up to come and join me on Har Sinai. I'm going to have an intimate conversation with you. We're going to be spending a lot of time together. It's not good enough to be here. Alei Elai HaHara Veheyei Sham. I expect you to actually be here mentally, not simply physically, as so often human beings find themselves in a situation where they happen to be. One of the most uplifting moments of Jewish history was obviously the historic experience of Kabbalah Satorah. And as we know, the Medrash tells us that the world came to a complete standstill, and the mountains were filled with smoke and lightning, and there was such an amazing spectacle that was going on, and the voice of God communicated with the Jewish people in a way that we've never experienced since, and we never had before that. So much so that the Medrash tells us the Jewish people passed out as a result. They were so overwhelmed by the presence of the Shekhinah. And yet, even though they just had this incredibly uplifting experience, something that they've never had before and they will never have again, just a few weeks later we read in the Parsha that they were involved in the Egel Hazav. And one cannot ignore this unusual reality. How can this be that the Jewish people are standing at Har Sinai, listening to the Word of God Himself, and yet just a few weeks later they're involved in one of the most despicable acts, Egel Hazav? How can that be? How did they stoop so low from being on such a high? How is it possible to defend this kind of behavior? How can we really understand their falling to this madrega of serving Avodah Zarah and Egel Hazav? The Medrash in Shir HaShirim provides an answer that I believe is very relevant to the discussion that we're having. And the Medrash writes the following. We have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where we're told, Livavtini be'achas me'enayich. What does that mean? You loved me with one eye. So as a child, my father told me what it means is, you know, sometimes you have somebody that you're so close with, either your wife, your husband, or your children, your parents, whoever it might be. You have somebody who you're very close with and you know very, very well. At a certain point in your relationship, you don't even have to communicate with them. You don't have to say anything. Just by winking one eye at each other, by looking a certain way, by the twitch on your eyelid, they know exactly what you're thinking without you having to say a word. That's the nature of relationships. That's what happens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Livavtini ba'achas me'enayich. We have such a powerful relationship. We are so close with one another. We understand each other so well. Just by winking at each other with one eye, by looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He looks at us, He knows exactly what we need. We know exactly what He wants. That, perhaps, is what it means. Livavtini ba'achas me'enayich. However, I later found, many years later, that the Medrash has this question. And the Medrash asks, Mahu ba'achas me'enayich? What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us with one eye? Doesn't He love us more profoundly than anybody else does, or than we love anyone else? So what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us with one eye? And the Medrash does not give this interpretation. The Medrash says the following. What does it mean, ba'achas me'enayich? The Medrash writes that this pasuk is a reference to the description of the Jewish people at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, the time of Matan Torah when they stood by Har Sinai. And the Medrash says, Elo sheba'ayin hashenis, as much as we were paying attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our second eye, kvar hayu mistaklin al ha'egel. Can you believe this? Here we are standing at Har Sinai, the most critical, pivotal moment in Jewish history, and we're not even focused on the Ribono Shel Olam Himself. With one eye, we're already distracted somewhere else. And the Medrash writes, this is what it means, livavtini ba'achas me'enayich. It's not a positive, it's a censure, it's a negative on the Jewish people, that we weren't even able to focus when we were standing there at the most inspiring and elevating moment in Jewish history. We couldn't even focus because sometimes that's the way human beings' minds work. And therefore, that is what led, says the Medrash, to the story of the Egel Hazav. It's because at the time when we were standing with the Ribono Shel Olam Himself, we were not focused. And when a human being is not completely focused on whatever it is that is in front of you, sometimes it can lead to the terrible mistake of even an Egel Hazav. And that is something that the Medrash teaches us from that pasuk of Livavtini Be'achas Me'enayich. A number of years ago, I saw a comment of the Chovas HaLevavos. He doesn't say exactly who he's referring to, but he quotes this from Chassid Echad. And I assume we can trust the Chovas HaLevavos if he says he was a Chassid Echad. I assume he was a really righteous person. So the Chovas HaLevavos writes that there was a Chassid Echad who penned the following tefillah. And when I read in the Chovas HaLevavos, it didn't mean so much to me. But then as I got a little bit older, and I started to understand that, yes, we are all human beings and we all get distracted and we all have our minds sometimes wandering to places where they shouldn't be or not really focused on whatever is in front of us, I really appreciated what the Chovas HaLevavos writes. He says there was a Chassid Echad who offered the following tefillah, and that was, HaMakom Yatzileni MiPizur HaNefesh. HaMakom Yatzileni MiPizur HaNefesh, writes the Chovas HaLevavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was asking him that you should save me from Pizur HaNefesh, means, I guess literally, from being a scatterbrain, from being all over the place. And as a result of being all over the place, I'm basically nowhere. And what a cryptic tefillah, but how beautiful and appropriate it is, writes the Chovas HaLevavos, this Chassid Echad hit the nail on the head, he understands. That is what the human being's mind is all about. Sometimes we wander, like we said. Yes, the Kohen Gadol needs that reminder. Kodesh LaHashem, he needs the tzitz. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be told, Alei Elai HaHar VeYesham. Klal Yisrael HaKabbalah HaTorah, we're looking ba'ayin HaSheni at the Egel HaZav. How can it be? And this is why he offers the tefillah, HaMakom Yatzileni MiPizur HaNefesh. Save my mind from being all over the place, from wandering off to think about something else when I'm supposed to be focused at whatever it is that is right in front of me. I just thought this past year on Yom Kippur, when we say the Al-Chaitz, so we say Al-Chaitz Shechatana Lefanecha Bivili Das. I think what that generally means is we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness that we violated Averas without thinking. If we were thinking clearly, we obviously wouldn't have done this. But perhaps it means something additional to that as well. Al-Chaitz Shechatana Lefanecha Bivili Das. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu how many times We just were inattentive to whatever it is that was in front of us. You asked us to be involved in something, and we may have done the mitzvah, we may have showed up to shul, we may have davened that tefillah, but we're just not here, we're somewhere else. And that's perhaps what we mean when we say, al chayt shechatana lefanecha bivelidas. That's what the chassid echad meant in the chavis halavavis when he asked every day in his tefillah, hamakom yatzileni mipizer hanefesh. It's such an important thing to keep in mind. When we understand the human failing, when we understand that we all try to multitask and be everywhere at the same time and then realize that we're really nowhere at that moment and we're certainly not where we're supposed to be at the time when we have something important in front of us, this tefillah of the Chavos HaLevavos is something that really resonates, at least with me, because it's something that really speaks to me when we see how our minds sometimes can be in so many different places and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to have the strength. Hamakom Yatzileni Mipizor HaNefesh.